WGN Radio, Elise Glink joins us most Mondays at this time, the owner of Think Glink Media and Best Money Moves. Here's Elise with an explanation for why the markets are doing so well.
Hey, John. Well, I'm hoping that I have an explanation, but first I'd like to just, I know we just covered this in the news break, but boy, I'm just looking at the numbers today and I'm kind of surprised even that the Dow is up another almost 300 points. It was up almost 400 points earlier this morning and just sort of blowing through. S&P 500, NASDAQ were positive, now a little bit negative. Russell 2000 is positive. And as I was going through this morning, I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, this is a very strong reaction to the election. That's the only thing that you can say.
Yeah.
And so as I think about it, I think, what would make everybody just sort of pile into the stock market? And I think it has to do with how Republicans portray themselves as the keeper of things like regulations and policy. And so I think what's happening here is that companies are betting, and the investors are betting, that regulations will go down. It will become easier for people to do the kind of business they want to do. And if they make profits, taxes will be reduced. They won't be bumping up taxes the way that I think the Biden administration had wanted to do, with sort of this like minimum 15% tax globally that they were working with other countries on. And so all of those things together are making people think, yeah, it's a smooth sailing for the stock market.
Someone said last week on this show, the trend is your friend. I think it was Craig Bolanos. That sounds Bolanos-y, doesn't it?
It does.
And he is the master of the quip. But he said, I think, or what he did say, I think reinforces what you're saying, or you're reinforcing what he said, that at least in the short run, this is going to not be bad for people's not bad for the markets, not bad for businesses, but I'm still just scratching my head. This sounds like a sour grapes, and I don't mean it that way, but in the run-up to Election Day, all the economists or other smart people, like bankers and investment people, people who weren't politicians trying to get a vote, they were all saying that in tariffs and a reduction in taxes and mass migration or kicking,
tossing millions of people out of the country,
all of those things would be bad for the economy and bad for markets. So I'm just wondering if those things will yet happen. But for the time being, it looks good.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So some reporters have been out there asking people on the street if they know how tariffs work. And universally, the answer is no.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know that I'm an expert on tariffs either. I can promise you that.
Well, I can just tell you the bottom line is tariffs will cost each person more money, right? I don't think anybody understands that. And so tariffs aren't scary yet, because the few people who do understand them, right, economists have all said this is terrible for the economy. It isn't. It's right now it's very ethereal. And even though Trump ran on these things, he hasn't put them into place. And so there's always this hope that he might actually not do those things. And, you know, he's going to go, well, you know, the stock market's doing pretty well. We don't need now to put in tariffs because X, Y, and Z. So I think there are some people who are hoping that whoever goes in as Treasury Secretary, they're looking, he's looking now at a couple of hedge fund people, whoever goes in as, you know, Federal Reserve people, that they will hold sway, and perhaps they will this time. But I think that when you look at some of the other things that are concerning, you know, the mortgage rates, which are making it very difficult for first-time homebuyers in particular to buy homes, they're actually moving in the wrong direction. The Fed lowered the federal funds rate last week, and mortgage interest rates are at 6% or higher, and they seem to be moving up, not down. And that's really interesting, too. So it's going to be very interesting times ahead.
I want to talk to you about other issues relative to the economy, but the markets are obviously good news. You know, Bob Frelick, Dr. Bob, as Terry Savage likes to call him, he is a very smart money guy here in Chicago, and he has come on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Terry Savage on Wednesdays the last couple of years and made predictions about the markets. And he said that this market this year, the Dow would close at 44,000 or above. And that seems to be tracking pretty well. If we don't give up what we've gained over the next 7 weeks, then he will be right. He's actually going to join us in studio on Wednesday. And that's always a fascinating conversation. Two very smart people, those two, making it understandable and digestible for us. There's a lot of optimism in that man's voice, and that'll be Wednesday when he comes through our studio with Terry Savage. So I hope you can join us for that. What else is on the on your mind relative to the economy and our individual finances?
You know, one of the things to think about is that this is an owner's economy, right? When you've got a business owner, as Donald Trump is in sort of a larger sense, right? He really places a value on owning things, owning houses, stocks and bonds, businesses, right? And so if you're an owner, you're going to be rewarded in the tax. I think the tax rolls, I think you're going to be obviously rewarded in the stock market as we're watching today. Businesses think it'll be easier to get things done if you can cut regulations and make it, you know, cut red tape, so to speak. But what does that mean if you're not an owner? Well, I would suggest you want to think about starting a side business. Side hustles can become very profitable in this environment. What are some things that you can do to sort of pad your bottom line, but also, you know, get yourself an ownership stake in something? It may mean that people need to think about things a little bit differently. And certainly if you're wanting to buy a house and you've been waiting till you get enough money, till you can be in the right neighborhood or whatever, maybe think about where you can be now or in the next 6 months and try and find a way to get there.
In the rearview mirror, that seems to have been a good idea, right? I mean, if nothing else, if you had been in some index fund, think of the ride you would have had the last 12 months, right?
Yeah, it is incredible how much things have gone up. I mean, just looking at the Dow Jones today, you know, it's up 39.5% year over year, up over 28% just since January. And when you look at, you know, NASDAQ, which has many, many more of the, like the tech companies, right, you're still up almost 40% year over year, and you're up almost 28% right now just since January. These are really big consequential changes. Now, of course, what we always say is past performance is no guarantee of future results. But the truth is that over, you know, 20 years, we've never had a losing period, right? You will make money in the stock market. You just have to get started. And so while I would stay away from crypto, and I say that given the crypto is now at 82,000 and change, you really do want to find a way to buy into the stock market. So if you work for a company that offers a 401k, start there. Take some money off the top, stick it into their mutual funds. Forget about it. You're not going to touch it anyway for a while. If the company offers a match, you want to do that. If the company is a publicly traded company that you work for and they offer you a discounted way to buy their stock, consider doing that as well. Even if you just have a few shares, you're now part of this owner's economy and you'll be able to build more wealth.
And it looks like you do not need to have been a genius to cash in on that. I mean, if you just look at the trillion-dollar companies, they're ones you've heard of, and they've all had a pretty nice run. Apple, Microsoft, Nvidia, Alphabet, Amazon, Meta, Saudi Aramco, which is an oil producer. That's the only one I hadn't heard of before. And then Berkshire Hathaway. But Berkshire Hathaway, what's Warren Buffett's logic now? Because I thought he was bearish, and the markets are still bullish.
Well, it's interesting. You know, he takes a longer view than we do, right? His view isn't, okay, next week the market's going to crash and I want to have cash on hand. His view, because nobody can time the market, not even Warren Buffett or his team, you know, his view is maybe over the next couple of years, we're going to have some big dips, or there are going to be some companies that we find that aren't able to compete in this world. We're going to be able to buy them and turn them around. They do a lot of that. And my feeling is he's probably identified, you know, when you see this kind of a run-up, and, you know, you look at the images, John, everything after November 5th, basically, since last week. There's just a huge jump up. If you look over, though, you know, all time, what you see is a lot of up and down, up and down. It looks like a roller coaster. And so Warren Buffett and others are putting some powder, dry powder, into their pockets and getting ready just in case, you know, when that eventual downturn happens, and it'll be there, they want to be ready.
Looks like he wasn't so interested in the peak as he didn't want all of his cash to be there for the fall. One last thing, public debt. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that came up in the election cycle was that our federal debt is just enormous, and it's growing, and it's going to continue to grow, especially if, you know, when they compare Donald Trump to what the vice president was proposing, you know, he has promised basically to do some things that are going to expand the debt, right? He suggested that he would eliminate paying tax on interest for cars, for example. He had suggested during the campaign, Donald Trump, that maybe people shouldn't pay interest on their well, you pay interest on, sorry, I'm saying this wrong. When you buy a car and you buy it with a loan, you pay interest on that.
But sure, whatever the rate is.
Right, but he might make that deductible the way that interest on your house that you pay on a mortgage is deductible.
Yeah, right, which encourages home ownership, and in this case, car ownership. It's good for domestic car manufacturers.
Right, but with the federal debt, you know, when you stop paying taxes on things, that's, you know, we're not able to pay back our debt to the same way, or we need to borrow more money publicly to pay for some of the different programs that were suggested. Another program that was suggested was we're not going to pay tax on the first certain amount of Social Security money that seniors get. Right now, there's taxes that have to be paid after a certain amount. He proposed eliminating that or reducing it. Well, that means we have to make up that money somewhere else. And so when you look at the public debt and how it potentially could grow through the year 2054, it could be, you know, that we're at twice or 160% or closing in on 180% of our entire GDP. And so there's just, you know, public debt matters because, you know, over time, as a share of the economy, bigger and bigger public debt means more and more of our taxpayer dollars have to go to service that debt. And then there's less to invest in the country itself, right? Mm. Roads, bridges, schools, whatever else there is. And so one of the things that I'm going to be watching over the next few years is what happens to the public debt and what are we doing with that? Because I do think it matters over the long run for ourselves and our children and our future grandchildren.
Elise Glink's the owner of ThinkLink Media. Best money moves. Click on thinklink.com. Nice to talk to you, Elise.
Always, John.
Now, though, we're talking to Chip Lupo, who's a writer and analyst over at Wallet Hub. On this Veterans Day, we thought it would be a good idea to ask him about how the military is perceived and how well the men and women who serve and have served are doing. Chip, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good, John. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. So I understand the timeliness of this. What are some of the overall findings?
Okay, with our military money survey, what we found is it's a pretty staggering numbers, actually. Well, to start off with, 56% of Americans think that inflation is hitting military families harder than civilians, which is an interesting point if you think about it, because in military culture, it's a little bit different because there are frequent relocations when you're serving, sometimes at the drop of a hat with no warning. And in a lot of cases, that can kind of stymie your non-military spouse's career ambitions. You could be moving into an area in which there's not a market for what your spouse might be doing. So that could lead to some financial difficulties. Also, military families often navigate their finances with just one adult. If the other one is deployed, doesn't necessarily mean there's a loss of income there, but you have one person who's making all of those tough decisions as far as how much to set aside for children's college, investments, what type of car to buy. So that's kind of a hindrance there also.
Well, and also members of the military don't get rich. I mean,
they do not.
If you're a very successful military officer or personnel, you can have a rewarding career, and there are some benefits for sure, but if you're a very successful person in the private sector, your earnings would outstrip that of a military member.
Yeah, well, let's segue into that, as you mentioned it, John, because we did find that 9 in 10 military members do think that joining the military is a good deal financially. As you said, you're not going to get rich off of it, but there are a wealth of good benefits involved. You have the you have your housing assistance and tuition assistance. And most of all, they have a very, very good health care plans where military members pay practically nothing and their spouses get it's a very, very good deal compared to what you get in the private sector.
It's funny you mention that because my dad was 20 years in the Air Force. And I do remember one time my mom taking me to the doctor for something that we probably didn't have to go to the doctor for, but I was upset and she said, fine. And the doctor turned to my mom and he said, you know, if you weren't in the Air Force, this would be costing you a lot of money and you probably wouldn't be here. And for some reason, I was just a kid at the time, but that I heard that, you know what I mean?
Right. And my sister spent 20 years in the Army and my brother-in-law was in the Navy. So, and they're making doctor visits for a lot of cases in which I wouldn't even think about going.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so... here's his number in your research or your study. 45% of people think the military does not do enough to teach financial literacy. I think that's endemic in this country. 65% of Americans think members of the military should not have to pay interest on debt when deployed. Boy, that's out of the box thinking. That's interesting.
Well, it is. And there is... a piece of legislation out there known as the Service Members Civil Relief Act, which addresses that, and it does provide several protection benefits. It does accelerate debt repayment without any interest costs, and it allows it assists, of course, will allow you to improve your credit score and overall financial health. But yeah, there's a number of provisions into that that do address that part.
You also have a list here of the best cities for veterans to live in. And naturally, it will favor coastal cities or cities where there's a heavy military presence. But Chicago, where we do have a Great Lakes Naval Base here in the Chicago area and plenty of military members, is on a list of 100 places. It is 93rd. Why are we so low on the list of places for members of the military to live?
Well, first of all, John, let's clarify. Now, we're talking, you mentioned the Great Lakes Naval Base. We have time, I'll share something with you. But we're talking about the city proper, Chicago, within the city limits. And, of course, Great Lakes is sort of on the outskirts there, off of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Very low rankings in economy, very low rankings, 92nd in employment. Quality of life, the health care issue, very low at 88. So, yeah, as far as employment opportunities for military members in Chicago, I think that's what hit Chicago the hardest as far as making it livable for veterans.
And this is, and we're talking veterans here. So I presume if you're a veteran, you're not active military, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. You're looking for your places either to find a second income or a place just to...
retire
just to relax after serving your country. Right.
Okay, so then you get Austin is number one, Orlando is two, Raleigh is three, Tampa is four, Virginia Beach, big military presence, and a little further south is five. But these are places that folks want to retire to anyway.
So that just adds to the pot a little bit more there.
But look at that. Scottsdale is seven, and Madison, Wisconsin, which has our weather, if nothing else, is number eight. That's interesting that Madison is so high on the list.
Well, Madison has a pretty good booming economy. It's a thriving college town, so there are opportunities there for military veterans. And it's a pretty good outdoors town also.
Yeah, right. I think Madison is a lovely place to live. I happen to like living in Chicago, too, so that's why I'm just trying to figure out how to put some lipstick on that pig of a rating that we have there. Before we wrap it up, anything else that jumps out at you?
Yeah, one thing that I thought was key is 83% of Americans think that protecting members of the military from identity theft is a matter of national security. Now, that is key because Now, we know that with identity theft, there's a lot of nefarious characters on the other side of these scams. So if a military member's ID were stolen, you have no idea whose hands it's going into. So that creates a grave threat right there.
And members of the military, we know this, also have access to information that is of the national interest. So we also need to make sure
Correct.
That not only are they safeguarded, but that they're on the up and up as well.
Correct. Yes, so that does cut both ways. Yes, absolutely.
Chip Lupo is a writer and analyst at Wallet Hub. You can find this and more at WalletHub.com. Chip, nice to talk to you today. Thanks for the insight.
Yeah, anytime, John. Happy Veterans Day to you.
Likewise, sir. We've got more business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Shares of AbbVie have dropped sharply after disappointing trials for its drug to treat schizophrenia. The drug, emraclidine, failed to meet the primary goal of treating symptoms of the mental illness. The drug was part of two mid-stage trials, which showed no statistically significant improvement in the severity of symptoms. AbbVie says it needs to analyze the data to determine next steps. The North Chicago-based company's shares fell as much as 12% at one point, the biggest decline in 3 years. The stock had been up nearly 30% this year as of Friday's close. Carmaker Stellantis, facing a strike by workers at its Belvedere plant over a stalled reopening of the facility, says it will cut hundreds of workers at a warehousing plant in Detroit. The layoffs will be the latest in a series of cuts in Michigan. Last week, Stellantis announced it was laying off about 1,100 workers at a Jeep plant in Toledo, Ohio. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And it's Veterans Day, so I thought I'd try to find an Illinois farmer who is a veteran. Are you one?
Yes.
Gene Miller has a farm near the Quad Cities.
I'm an 82nd Airborne veteran, Army, a paratrooper from the Gulf War.
He was a combat medic and was severely wounded in the desert.
Yeah, March 10th, 1991 is when it happened.
On the medevac helicopter, Gene was declared dead.
That was the last radio transmission to my unit, was I was KIA.
Obviously, he was brought back to life, but
that carried a lot of PTSD over the years.
And several military hospitals later, he was finally back in Illinois, working at a large manufacturing plant in the Quad Cities, marrying and raising two boys. But in 2020, a bout of PTSD hit him hard.
And out of nowhere, it was onset and just unleashed. And I was confused. I was embarrassed. I was withdrawn. It was a lot of emotions you can't even explain. I couldn't sleep for days, for months, really.
He says a phone call to the Veterans Crisis Hotline is part of what saved him.
And then that sent me through 18 months of weekly therapy, which really helped. We did it with zero meds, just wanted to go to counseling, but then the bees came in with it.
Yeah, he said bees. He'll tell us how bees helped him recover after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. So Gene Miller's life was spiraling out of control because of PTSD. He got help through the Veterans Crisis Hotline, which he highly recommends.
Anybody's out there struggling, you know, don't hold back from making calls or seeking out for help because you're not unique.
What's unique about Gene's recovery are bees. He was reading a VA newsletter article about beekeeping, and he was hooked.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable, and it's a whole different fascinating world when you dive into it. And they can actually feel your energy. You know, if I go and I'm in a bad mood and I'm not paying attention, they get a little feisty and spicy, and they remind me. And it's like, all right, Gene, you know, calm down. It's a good day. It brings you to the here and now, and the smells of the hive and the humming of the bees and everything together. It's really harmonic.
I'm out of time for today, but more about Gene and his farm and an Illinois Department of Agriculture program that helps military veteran farmers market their products, homegrown by heroes, tomorrow. Today, from the dairy farm to your belly, it's National Ice Cream Sunday Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Here's another big number, 50,000. That's how many coats our next guest, Don Melchiori, is hoping to raise with Cradles to Crayons. Welcome back, Don. Happy holidays.
Thank you, John. Happy holidays to you as well.
Talk to us. First of all, who are you all? What do you all do?
Sure. Cradles to Crayons, Chicago. We provide clothing and other essential items for children who are living in homeless or low-income situations to ensure that they have everything they need in order to thrive in their community and at school.
How do you identify the kids?
We are fortunate that we work with about 70-plus service partners across the city and suburbs. And so all of the clothes that we collect and package goes out to our service partners free of charge. And then they connect with all of the children and families that are in their programs. And we're talking like the YMCA and Chicago Public Schools, as well as some small local community-based organizations.
So if a teacher notices that a kid doesn't have appropriate clothes, they reach out to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, through the Chicago Public Schools, they reach out through our network of amazing service partners, and we can ensure that they can get what they need for the kids.
So Gear Up for Winter, among other things, is looking for 50,000 coats. Do you want new or gently used?
We want them all. So we're looking for gently used as well as brand new coats, but also outerwear, hats, gloves, scarves, boots, warm clothing, long pants, sweatshirts, everything that we know that when eventually our weather gets really cold, everybody's going to need.
What's the number one thing on your wish list?
The number one thing are those winter coats in all sizes. We need from infant all the way up through, you know, adult, extra large for the kids. That's probably the number one thing. And to make sure that they're warm, they're weatherproof, and kids can use it for the whole winter.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we've been talking about the stock market, but also people's debt. And the community you serve has got the same debt problems that everybody else has, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we know one in two children in Chicago are living in low-income situations. And those families, in particular, the high cost of children's clothing, of a back-to-school expense, as well as basic food and utilities are really forcing these families to make the decisions of, you know, do I pay the heating bill or do we buy the winter coat that the child's going to need to walk to school, to, you know, be at the school bus? So these are really tough choices. And so we're trying to help so that they don't have to make that kind of choice.
So how do we help you then? What's the easiest way for us to, by the way, are you interested in adult clothing as well? Or some kids wear an adult large, right?
Oh, absolutely. We take all sizes of adult and children's clothing, shoes, everything. So we want anything that's in your closet that you're no longer using, we'll take. And, you know, for people to get involved, I encourage them to visit our website, which is cradlestocrayons.org/Chicago. And there's a few different ways you can get involved. Clean out your closets. And we have over 50 drop-off locations throughout the city and suburbs. Drop those off. Come and visit us. We're in the North Center neighborhood at Addison and Western. We need tens of thousands of volunteers every year to help get the clothing and everything that's donated out the door. Or you can also go on our website and look at Amazon.com. We have an Amazon wish list, and you can just purchase everything, and it gets shipped straight to us, and it quickly gets out into the community.
Don Melchiori and friends looking for 50,000 coats plus hats and gloves and boots. You heard it. CradlesToCrayons.org/Chicago. CradlesToCrayons.org/Chicago. Let us know what else we can do down the road. Have a good season, Don.
Thank you, John. Have a good one.
Yeah, it's that Amazon thing makes it easy, too. And Brenda and I were cleaning out some closets this weekend. Adult sizes, too.